All right, you can go ahead and bring your offerings up to the baskets on either side for those of you that haven't yet. And while you're doing that, I just want to share, Marge had given a word, Marjorie, or Sunshine as we like to call her, had given a word. She felt like the Lord wanted us all to know that no matter how far we walk away, Jesus is one word away. And so we are grateful. That's one of the things we're grateful for, that Jesus is that close to us at any given time, even when we're not moving towards him, that it's just one word. So thank you for sharing that. Okay, we have all kinds of fun to get to, but I do want to just give a short word around the concept of community life. That's our theme for this month. We tend to do that in September or in the fall. We kind of focus on the ways that we can come into community. And part of that is because summer can sometimes be kind of a scattering time. And certainly this summer has been even more of a scattering time as it relates to just everything that goes on. And coming together in community feels harder. It feels like you have to consider all these different things, and there's these boundaries and barriers, and so it just feels like this is a time to, again, look at what is it to come into community with one another? How does that fit into God's plan here on earth? How important that is. And so we like to just spend a little bit of time focusing on that. It's an important part of our core values here at Living Waters that we cultivate community. And another part of our core value at Living Waters is that we really appreciate organic community. We are not necessarily going to come up with a lot of programs and structures to create that, because we really believe that God wants to organically bring community. But how many of you know that even in organic gardening, those things can grow better when they have a structure to grow around, when they have something to support them, when there's a way for those things to grow? And so that's kind of the role that we take in helping promote community, is we see kind of what God is doing organically in people, and then we try to help support that and bring strength to that. That's just an important part of what we do here. So we definitely look at community as an opportunity for people to be grown up in the things of the Lord. That this, what we do on a Sunday morning, is so important as it relates to the corporate gathering and coming together, but that really growth happens between Sunday at noon and, you know, Saturday at midnight, or however you want to look at it. That's where growth happens. That's where any seeds that get planted by spending time in the presence of the Lord, any seeds that get planted by the word that goes forth, get cultivated in your own life. And some of that comes through cultivating that in your relationship with God and pursuing him. But a lot of that comes in how we interact with one another in community. A lot of that comes, how many of you know that the most growth comes out of kind of bumping up against one another in relationship? That's where we either, through sometimes some uncomfortable times where your things are rubbing the wrong way, but it produces growth in us as we interact with one another. Or through, how many of you have just felt your spirit growing as you sit down and speak with someone and you just talk about the things that the Lord's showing you? Have you ever had that experience where you're talking, sitting and talking with another person, and things begin to come out of your mouth that you go, oh, I didn't realize that I was learning that. But because you're sharing just out of what God's doing, all of a sudden something in you is growing because you're interacting with another person around the truth and the reality of who God is or what God's doing. And so it's an important part of our growth. It's an important part of what life of the church should be. Another aspect of it that I always like to talk about is how important our oneness and our coming together is to the mission of God on earth, to the mission of what he means for us to accomplish what he sent Jesus to do. That oneness, he didn't say, okay, great, you have Jesus, it's just you and Jesus, and that's all good. We spend the rest of the New Testament learning how to interact with one another, learning how to encourage one another, edify one another, build up one another, and to come into a place of greater maturity through how we interact with one another. So we really believe that whatever you want to call it, we call it community life or connection or whatever, that it's an important part, especially right now in this season. There's a lot of things that are kind of that the enemy is kind of bringing to the atmosphere and to the environment around us, but disconnect is a big part of what he's trying to do in this time. To bring a division, to bring a disconnect, to bring an isolation and a distance. Even all of the guidelines are around distance. And so how do we navigate that and still continue to press into the kind of community and the kind of closeness that God wants for us to have? Now, for me, I go, isn't this great that we get to try and figure out how to do this a different way? But that's because my personality type just really loves to do things a different way. Like, you know, we get to figure out a different way to do it. We're not doing all the same things the same way. For some people, this is a horrible time because they go, I can't do anything the way that I usually do it. And I miss that. I miss being able to connect with people the way that I used to connect with people, and it's uncomfortable now. But I want us, whether we're in that place of going, this is great, we get to try something new, or whether we're in that place of this is really hard and I don't like it, I want us to be a people who are tenacious for community, who are tenacious for connection, who will not settle into a place of disconnect and distance and isolation. And so as we're talking today, I just believe that the Lord's even going to begin to give us ideas and ways in our own lives about how we can be connecting with one another in a more meaningful way, how we can come into community, what he wants for us in community in this time. So, as always, I'm encouraging us as we come into a new rhythm of fall, will you leave space for community in that rhythm? Will you on purpose say, okay, I'm going to carve out that space? Because we know if we don't carve out that space, it doesn't really happen. And so be thinking about how can I come into community. We're going to talk about some different ways to do that. But I just want to kind of revisit. Obviously, most of us know, and the teaching that we've had, that the church is not a building, it's a people. And so even as it relates to our mission here at Living Waters, it starts out with, we purpose to be a Christ-centered community of people who are co-laboring with the Holy Spirit to transform the world's lost and wounded into God's warriors. We are dedicated to providing a pathway of spiritual growth that will disciple, equip, and mobilize believers to be fruitful members of God's kingdom, offering opportunities to serve in our church, our community, and our nation. I just want to point out that there's a core part of who we are is that we would be a community of Christ-centered people who are being led by the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going after together, that we would come together, that we would all have our different expressions of that, but that it would be a community of people who knows how to do relationship, who knows how to do vulnerability and transparency with one another. And so that's what we're wanting to see built. And that's what we're building. We're not building a building. We're building people who know how to build other people. And so even right now, as we're coming into winter, there's some projects and things we're trying to get done because a building needs maintenance and there's things that it needs. And there's sometimes a frustration in me to be spending time and energy and effort towards doing these things on the building. But the reality is that this building's job is to serve people and is to build people. And so I'm happy to replace the phone system because it serves people. Or the heating and air conditioning that needs some updating because it serves people. It allows us to come together and to build up one another, to build people. So that's really the mission of the church, is to build people. That's the thing that's going to last. That's the thing that's going to last in your life, is what you've put into people and how you've connected with them. And recently, this last weekend, was it Labor Day weekend last weekend?
Yeah.
My great aunt June, who wore turquoise and spoon rings and was just a beautiful, just love her, just such a beautiful, bright personality. She had passed away, and she had loved the Lord all her life. And it just occurred to me as we were listening to, we missed her memorial service this last weekend, but then went up north and were with family and we got to hear parts of it. And she had recorded a message to be played at her service. And it was again another attempt at building into people, because that's what she was about. That's what her life was about. She didn't have all kinds of things and assets and whatever, but she had a rich heritage of people that came to celebrate her life who had been impacted by her. And that was the thing that lasted. That was the thing. And in her recording, she was taking one more opportunity to share with her people, with her friends and her family that she had built into, to talking to them about putting their trust in Jesus and about walking with Jesus and kind of sharing her testimony around that. Even from, you know, she's on the other side in heaven as the great cloud of witnesses, and she's going, just one more time, I just wanted to remind you how much God loves you and that he wants to be in your life. And so that's the reality, is that's what is left behind. It's people. It's the things that we build into. Paul called himself a master builder. What was he building? He was building people. He was pouring into people that he knew that would carry on after him. Let's read 1 Corinthians 3. I think I'm going to start with verse 9. That's what I told the booth up there, so I probably should. Let's see. Yes. 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. So this is Paul. And I think when he's saying we, he's talking about Apollos, who's another minister, another apostle. We are God's fellow workers. You all are God's field. You all are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. Let's go down to verse 16. He says, and do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So Paul often talked about the way that he labored that Christ would be formed in people, in the people that he was ministering to. This is what he was about. He was about building people. And we know that even this is the example of Jesus. Jesus, when you really think about it, in his ministry, what did he really leave behind on earth? He didn't take over the temples. He didn't build a building. He didn't really even build an organization or a structure. He built people. He filled them with his Spirit and then said, okay, now go build more people. And this is somewhat counterculture to the way that we see things in the world. It's about what can we build, you know, what can we build that can be seen that is left. And yet, in this kingdom, it's all about what are the hidden things that we're building? You know, there's things that we're building, that, but they're hidden. They're things that aren't always seen. They're things that aren't always seen on a Sunday morning on the platform. We know that the work of the church, the work of the body, is really the largest part of what God's doing. And it's happening in your homes, and it's happening in your car rides when you're on the phone with somebody, and it's happening in your workplaces, and that's what God's about. He's about building people. Let's look at 1 Peter. Here's another example of this concept of building. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll do verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. So this is his instruction to lay aside those things. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. Because that's another thing about the Christian life. It's about growth. It's about moving towards more and more likeness of Christ. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, meaning if you've come to salvation, coming to him as a living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in Scripture. It goes on to say the prophecy that was spoken about who Jesus was as the chief cornerstone. But let's skip down to verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had obtained mercy, but now have, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So here's this concept again of the church, the people of God, being a building and being built on the cornerstone of who Jesus is. And so this is the thing. We are a church that is passionate about the presence of God. We are passionate about the presence of God because we know that when people come into an encounter with that God, that it changes things. That when people come into the encounter with the living stone of Jesus, that they themselves become living stones, that they become alive. And so that's our first goal, is that people would no longer be dead, but that they would come alive. And even on a Sunday morning, our goal is to come together and to become the place, the temple, that's cornerstone is Jesus, where the presence of God can be hosted. What's interesting is I think there's times when we think, you know, the presence of God comes on a Sunday morning and we can think, wow, the worship team did an awesome job. And they probably did. They probably did a really awesome job. Or we can say, wow, the word was so good, or this person brought this. But the reality is, our ability to experience and host the presence of God on a Sunday morning has more to do with you as living stones. It has more to do with what you're bringing as a living stone. I am so grateful that it's not dependent on me, or Dave, or Bob, or the worship team, whether or not the presence of God can come on a Sunday morning. It's really dependent on how have we been hosting the presence of God as living stones throughout the week. And that's why our midweek gatherings and our things outside of Sunday morning, that's the meat and potatoes of it. This is the gravy. And I know it's not really fun to eat meat and potatoes without gravy. But the reality is that those things that you do, those ways that you connect, the times that you spend in prayer are creating our ability to host the presence of God, to be a temple that hosts the presence of God, so that people can come and encounter God in a way that changes everything for them. That they can come and they can encounter the living stone. And so I just want to encourage us in that, that yes, you individually are a temple of the Holy Spirit. There are verses in the Bible that talk about that, that your body is a temple, that you host the presence of God. But these verses that we're reading in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians and 1 Peter, what that's talking about, that you means y'all. You all, plural. It's saying, don't you know that you all, when you come together, you are the temple of the living God. You are the one that hosts the presence of God. And to the degree that you can come together with Christ as the cornerstone, to that degree, my presence can dwell. This is a season where I want to see the presence of God move in our community and in this place, that people would be transformed. We need to be about transformation. We need to be about seeing the things around us transformed by coming in contact with the presence of God in us. But I feel like there's something he's teaching us about the presence of God that can come when we come together for those things, when we come together for a connect group where we're sharing life together, when we come together to pray for our country and to begin to speak declaration into the things that are going on in our country. When we come together as women, as only women can do in the women's ministry. When we come together as men, as only men can do in the men's ministry. And we share life together and we, on this foundation of the living stone, Jesus, we encounter one another and we encounter the life of Jesus in one another. So we are a house of living stones, and we know that we're built on that. The other piece is on that reality of who Jesus is. When we look at, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the verse, because I was talking around authority, but we talked about the verse where Jesus asks Peter, who do you say I am? And he makes the declaration that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, This was revealed to you. No man revealed this to you. It was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. This was revealed to you by God. And on this rock, I will build my church. I really believe that speaks to the cornerstone of the revelation of who Jesus is. But there's a lot more building that comes from that place by us gathering around that reality and being in relationship with one another. The other piece is that the church is a people, but it's not just a people, it's a people who are building other people. That the church is a people that knows how to build other people, and that's really the basis of why we think connect groups are so important. If we look at Ephesians 4, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may you grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Edifying meaning building. So we believe that the body is built by the body. That it's meant to be edified by the body. And so there's really only so much that we can do on a Sunday morning. But that you have a role to play in building the body. You have a role to play in encouraging one another and in growing one another. So here's what I want to encourage you in. We're going to give instructions for the Connexpo. Pay no attention to the man with the special cards. Well, pay a little attention because it'll hurt his feelings if you don't. But yeah. But here's what I want us to do to consider. As we're coming into a new season where we're kind of setting rhythms for our life, is ask the Lord, what are some ways that you want me to be set in next to some other people as a living stone? What are some ways, and maybe you have ways that you have been, but be open. Are there other ways, God, that you want me to begin to be connected to house the presence, your presence, in a different way? And so some of those ways can be to take part in some of the structured groups that we have. We're going to be talking today, when you come to the ConnectSpo, you'll get to get information about some of the different ways that we can connect here at Living Waters. We have a men's group, a women's group, we have the youth group. We consider our children's ministry a sort of connection point for our children. We have several different connect groups that meet in people's homes. You'll get a chance to visit those. We have some focus groups that meet, and it's to encourage one another, but it has a focus on something specific, like our prayer shawls group, where they come together and they make prayer shawls. And yes, it's an outreach and they're ministering, but a lot of it is they're also having connection with one another. Prayer for our country is kind of like that. They come, they have a prayer focus, but they're definitely encouraging one another and edifying one another. Rachel and Jordan have launched a young adults group because we've just realized that between youth and sitting in service every Sunday, there's sort of this gap of how do I transition from that kind of relationship and how I process with God to the adult way of interacting with God, that there's just things that you're developing in that season. You're developing how your relationship with God is going to look. And so they've launched a group for young adults. I don't qualify anymore for that group. But that's okay. So there's a lot of other groups. Higher Call is another one. Ambassadors and Ambassadors for Him and Prophetic Sessions are going to be in there today. That's another way that you can connect with one another and host the presence of God in a particular area. So there's that. The other thing, if timing doesn't work for those things, if that doesn't feel like a fit to you, I really believe that God wants to call even two or three people together in this season who are going to commit for a season to really set themselves in the building, so to speak. I believe that this is a time where we need to have people that we're praying with. Is there two or three other people that you can just commit, even if it's by phone or by Zoom or whatever, or in person, we're just going to commit to, we're going to come together and we're going to pray. We talked about a couple weeks ago as it related to authority, that it's two or three who are gathered in His name that have an authority to begin to speak some things. And so come together and step into that authority together in the things going on in your life and the things going on around you. Just want to encourage you. It doesn't have to be really formal. You don't even have to shower first. You could just get together and walk. And some people are like, oh no, please shower if you're going to get together with me. But look for ways. How can I connect? Maybe there's two or three other people that you want to meet with just to study part of the Word together. Let's just go through a book of the Bible together, and let's just commit. We're going to read this chapter, and then we're going to talk, and we're going to pray around that. Cultivate the kind of community in your life that hosts the presence of God. Yes, we host the presence individually, but we want to be hosting the presence of God in community. So, before I close, what I would like to do, if you have a table, I want to dismiss you to go get ready, because all the people in this room are about to rush your table because they're so excited to hear about your group. So if you have a table, go ahead and get ready. Yes. I don't smell them yet, so I'm a little concerned, but we'll see. I'm gonna pray before we go, but I want to give you a couple of instructions. Okay, we're good. So the goal of the Connexpo, beyond having mini donuts, which is fun, is and coffee. There will be coffee. The goal of the Connexpo is to give you an opportunity to both see different ways that you can connect at Living Waters, but also we want to celebrate the ways that we connect at Living Waters outside of the Sunday morning service. We want to highlight those things and celebrate and kind of be appreciative and have gratitude for the ways that's happening for people that are hosting these things weekly or monthly and that are leading these things. We want to celebrate that. So what I would like to encourage you to do, each of you should have received a punch card. Are we out of them? Are we good? We have enough. Okay. And this is your ticket. Mini donuts you get no matter what. So come and have mini donuts. But the punch card is an opportunity for you to take to the different booths, and I want you to ask a question about their group or about their ministry. So you'll bring your punch card, and you'll go, and you'll say, so how many years have you been meeting? Or something like that. Or you'll say, let's think of some, what are some fun questions to ask?
When's the men's retreat?
When is the men's retreat? And can I bring my wife? No, you cannot bring your wife. That is a real thing. He doesn't love to be away from home. It makes me feel very special. Did you have a question?
Well, it's probably the same thing. Can I go on the men's retreat?
That's a good one. Can I go on the men's retreat?
Well, it's on the question. They have to ask them something.
That's right. So it doesn't matter. Just any kind of question, because that shows interest in what it is that they're doing, and you'll get to hear a little bit about it. So come up with a question. Doesn't have to be a big one. It can be a question you've heard somebody ask before. And then they'll punch your card. And once you have some punches on your card, we're not going to count the punches. I would suggest, if you can, visit all the tables. But then you bring your card to the swag table, which swag is stuff we all get, at least in my, that's my definition. And we have some Living Waters Church logoed gifts. So you can bring your punch card, and then you get to pick out a special gift to remind you that you're part of a community at Living Waters Church, okay? So that is our deal. That's the Connexpo. Please come for coffee and donuts and swag. And we would encourage you, for those of you that are online, we have information about our different groups on our website. So if you look at the website, it'll have ministries, and it'll have all the different groups that are meeting and where to go for more information about that. You can click a contact button and get more information. So whether you're here or home online, get more information about how you can connect. Okay, I'm going to pray. Before I pray, we will have prayer teams up front still. So if you do want prayer, our prayer teams will be up front here. Because of that, I would encourage, if you're going to be chatty and celebratory, that you be chatty and celebratory with the mini donuts and the Connexpo, and let people get prayer in here, and then they'll come in when they're done. So, well, Lord, we thank you for the divine privilege that we have to be part of your building. We thank you that we are part of what you are building that isn't made by hands. We thank you for the ways that you invest in us, that you left your Holy Spirit, that you fill us with your Spirit, and that you, where we've been dead, you made us alive. Lord, we thank you for the living stone, the cornerstone, Jesus, and we just ask that you would help us to continue to build as a body, as a people that you've made us. We'd continue to build as living stones set in next to one another, a place that hosts your presence, a place where you can dwell, a place where an environment is created for all that you want to do because it's so open to your presence. So, Lord, we pray that you would give us wisdom and ideas in knowing how to dwell or be the place of dwelling as a body in other ways outside of our Sunday mornings, outside of our churches. Would you show us how we can connect with others and create dwelling places for you in other out in our homes, in our workplaces? We thank you for the divine privilege we have to build one another up in love, and we just ask that you would raise the water level for us in that this year, that we would become even better in this time of disconnect. We'd become even better at connecting and loving one another. We pray all this in your name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed to go find some mini donuts.